It's that time again, y'all. Tis the season to celebrate. When I was in East Coast Bible College, had a beautiful young lady who had cancer, and she planned her own funeral, and a friend preached her service. And this is the title that he used: When Death Knocks at Your Door, How Will You Answer? It is a question. It's not if death knocks at your door, it's when death knocks at your door. It's going to knock at your door. And she had requested that at her service — they had her service at the college — and she had requested that at her service an altar call should be given. And 26 young people came down and accepted Christ as their Savior at this young lady's casket. I mean, it was such a powerful vision that was taking place. You were seeing an impact. You were seeing one person saying so long, or I'll see you later, and being separated from the surly bonds of earth to touch the face of God. But yet 26 more came in to his presence and into the knowledge of who he was at this particular service. And you know, when you have an enemy, you have to be able to name that enemy. You have to be able to confront that enemy, or else you will never be able to defeat that enemy. You can't fight against the Assyrians if your enemy is the Philistines, and you can't fight against the Philistines if your enemy is the Midianites. And that's what some people say about what we're dealing with in this country today. Until you can name your enemy, it's hard to defeat something that you're afraid to speak of. And this is a message. This is something that you would probably normally hear at a funeral service. And, you know, but the Bible teaches us, and Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18, he says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God shall sound first, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. Wherefore comfort you one another with these words." So it's like we're afraid to speak of death while we're alive. We only confront it whenever we're sort of handed it to us. And, you know, I've had people in the past to come to me and tell me, you know, that they want to get everything prepared and they want me to do their service. And I had somebody, it hadn't been very long ago, that came to me and was telling me that. Now, a lot of them, when they tell me that, I tell them, well, write me down something good so I have something good to say about you. And I do that kind of jokingly. But then I have some people, and I know that they're sincere, and they really mean what they're saying. And I usually say, I'm not going to talk about that. It's just something that we don't want to talk about. And what that was saying to me, the Spirit checked me on it, because if you have an enemy, in order for you to defeat that enemy, then you've got to confront that enemy. You've got to name that enemy. In 1 Corinthians 15:19-26, we actually see Paul is saying, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. If the only thing my hope is in this life, I am just the most miserable person. That's my translation of it to you. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, By man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. In other words, Christ is the first fruits after they that are Christ at his coming. In other words, Christ is the first fruit. Somebody said, well, was it Lazarus raised from the dead? Was it the widow son of Nain raised from the dead? But I don't know where they are today. I mean, they may have been raised from the dead, but then they died again. But Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, and that is the eternal resurrection. That is the resurrection that can never be taken away. In other words, when you enter into this life that has been made available to us, it can never be taken away from you again. You will have eternal life by faith. Then come at the end, and when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God even to the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Can you say amen? We've got to know what our enemy is. The Bible says that there are some that are dead yet while they live. What we don't understand, we think death is a cold form placed in a casket somewhere, but truly death is separation from God himself. Listen to Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and what's taking place when his sweat became as great drops of blood. He said, let this cup pass from me. Jesus Christ had always been connected to the Father. And as long as he was connected to the Father, he could not die. The only way that he would die would be separated from life. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, Christ in Gethsemane was separating himself from the eternal God so that he could go to the cross and he could actually die. You say, Brother David, what are you trying to say? What I am telling you, I'm not trying to say it. I'm just letting you know that whenever you get connected through faith and through the blood of the cross, you're just like Jesus. You cannot be separated from the life, my God, because you are connected to the first fruit of the resurrection and the eternal life. You become connected and you cannot be afraid, and death is no longer your enemy. You have identified him. You have exposed him, and you have declared victory over him. My God, I feel like Lord have mercy. The Spirit said, preach it. I said, this is supposed to be a time, Thanksgiving, Christmas, time of birth. Let me tell you something. God has never designed a place for you that you stop living. God, what may look like the end of the life here is going to be the beginning, because God, who is the giver of life, has never planned a place for you to stop living. Amen. When death knocks at your door, Isaiah 10 and 3. And what will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which shall come from afar? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? These are three questions that were asked to us today. What will you do? Will you be afraid? Will you be glad? Will you celebrate it? Do you have a plan? I mean, are you going to look at that day? You know, I've seen other people. I've watched people try to hang on here a little bit. And they just seemed like the only thing that they want is just a few more breaths down here. Just breathe a little bit longer. But I like the way Jacob did it and King David did it. Wow. You see, Jacob called in all of his children and grandchildren, and he began to bless them. And then the Bible said, and Jacob pulled his knees up and went to sleep. Ooh. Amen. What will you do in the day of visitation? David called in everybody, and he said, I got to tell you, I want to leave you with these words. He said, I was young and now I'm old. He said, but there's two things I've never seen. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen his seed begging bread. He said, there's two things. My God, I just love that when he says, I've never seen the righteous. That's why David's kingdom represented the kingdom of God. David knew what it was like to be a shepherd boy. David knew what it was like to be a king. David knew what it was like to go from the lowest place to the highest place. Jesus just kind of reversed it, and he came from the highest place to the lowest place so that we could go from the lowest place to the highest place. My God, do you understand what the picture is that he's painting? And it's because he sees us as righteous. He said, what will you do? To whom will you flee? Your friends can sympathize. Your family probably do all they can do. Amen. You know, I sort of picture that. I've been to so many surgeries, and you know, that's like a place where the friends come in and they get to see you before you go into the prep place. And then when they get you prepped, they let the family come in there, and usually the preacher can say a little prayer and the family stands over you. And then I walk with the family as we follow the bed and to these other doors where they're going into the OR. And there's some people that can go. The doctors are only one who can be in the operating room. And I see the friends could come this far. The family could go this far. The doctor could go this far. But friend, if that last enemy shows up, there's only one person that's going to be able to take you to the next level. Oh my God, to whom shall you flee? I'm just saying, call upon the Lord while he is near. Seek him while he can be found, and let God be the person that is with you, because there is no difficult status. There's no death. There's no suffering. There's nothing he can't go with you through, my God. Lord have mercy. Maybe when death knocks, maybe Paul gave us the example of how to answer. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he tells Timothy, for the time of my departure is at hand. I am now ready to be offered. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. But Paul said, I was caught up into the third heaven. I saw things unlawful to tell. Wow. He said, I was in a great strait betwixt and between whether to go on and be with the Lord or to come back and finish my call upon this earth. He said, everything in me, I just wanted to go on. But I knew that God had called me to preach to Caesar in Rome. And now he's preached to Caesar in Rome. And he says, the time of my departure is at hand. But the beauty of this, I believe Paul gives us a little glimpse that he said he couldn't tell. It was unlawful. That meant you wouldn't believe me if I told you. But then he gives us a little glimpse of what he saw. And he said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Hebrews 9:24-28, and I'm going to let you go. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's our mediator. He's our intercessor. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. I wish the Lord that religion had not abused that word judgment. Because anytime you read judgment in the Old Testament, he's judging how much good he can do for you. You know, when he says to judge the widows and the orphans, he's not saying judge them into hell, blame them for their condition on themselves. He's saying judge what you can do, do all that you can do. That's what judgment means. After this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You see, your no sin unto salvation is because he entered in and suffered once. And because he who knew no sin became sin for us. Those of us who believe on him, who knew no righteousness, we became righteous. And when we stand before God, salvation is a gift. Receive it. Amen. I don't mean for this sermon to be sad and make you sorrowful. I'm just wanting to give you the understanding to celebrate that God has no stopping place for our lives. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Father, we do love you. Lord, we thank you for your excellent greatness. We thank you for your mighty acts. We thank you because you're our eternal Father. Hallelujah. I love you this morning. God loves you. Fellowship before you leave. You are dismissed. God is so good.